you're finding your seat, if you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and then verses 17 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town.'" Then verse 17, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, the one who looked these 70 in the eyes and sent them out to prepare the way for you, would you look into our hearts today, and would you see us willing and ready to go wherever you might lead? And Holy Spirit, who inspired Luke's writings of these words, would you inspire our hearing in these moments so that we may indeed hear what it is you want us to hear, so we may be who you want us to be, so that we may do what it is that you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The people of Belfair Community Church are a people seeking to abide in Christ, to grow together, and to give life. We spent the last couple of weeks looking at these first couple of statements, abiding in Christ and growing together. Today we delve into that third one, giving life. It's based on that third movement. All of them are based on John 15. And this is that third part of John 15 when Jesus says to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." We are called to establish genuine friendship with God and with one another so that we might then have all that we need to go out and establish genuine friendship with the world. So that all that we might have, all that we could possibly need, so we might go out and seek and save the lost until every single one knows far and wide that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And these three things that we're called to orient our lives around, abiding in Christ, growing together, giving life. Most of us, if we're honest, we tend to be okay, at least fairly okay, at one or two of them, and maybe another one or two of them, we kind of struggle with some. Some of us might have great relationships within the Christian community, but rarely do we actually share a cup of coffee with a non-believer. Some of us might spend hours talking to God any given day, but we rarely pick up the phone to check on a Christian brother or sister. And some of us are people who are very busy doing and serving and going to reach the lost, but rarely do we slow down a little while and simply sit with God and receive His love and receive His rest. You see, these three things, this friendship with God, friendship with one another, friendship with the world, they're kind of like the legs on a stool, and they all have to be working in unison together, or else that stool cannot stand. We don't get to pick and choose one or two of our favorites and let the third one go by the wayside. This is the Christian life. All of them working together. Friendship with God, friendship with one another, friendship with the world. And so abiding in Christ and growing together. We must be a people who seek to bear fruit and fruit that will last. A people who seek week in and week out to go out and love the world together. How will we do that, we ask? And that's where Luke 10 has something to say to us. The folks that Jesus is talking to in Luke 10, they've been following him around for some time now, and they've been learning how to make their life their friendship with Christ. They followed him, they've heard his sermons, they've seen his miracles. And as they've been doing that, they've surely been cultivating their life together, sharing endless meals and conversation along that journey with one another. And now Jesus pulls them aside and says, it's time for something more. In Luke 10, Jesus appoints 70 of these, and he sends them out to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And as he prepares them to go, Jesus tells them how to love the world well wherever they go. And because of that, we do well this morning to slow down for just a little while and to let his words to them also become his words to us. As we're asking the same questions, how do we love the world and how do we love the world well? There in verse 1, after the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus takes the 70 and immediately he splits them off into pairs. We talked about this idea some last week. About this Jesus who over and over again seems far more concerned with relationships than with efficiency. Rather than send the 70 to 70 different places to get twice the amount of work done, he chose to give each one a partner and send them to just 35 places instead. You see, we were never meant to do the mission of God alone. I've tried it before. And sometimes I still fall back in those same old patterns of doing it all myself. And when I do, it's never very long before I find myself whining, just like the prophet Elijah back in 1 Kings 19, where there he is all by himself in the desert saying, oh God, I and I alone am the only one who cares about all these people and the work of your kingdom. I'm the only one, God. Feel sorry for me because I feel sorry for myself. And in those moments, God's response to me is always just like his response was to Elijah in his moment of doing it alone. And God whispered to him and to me and said, and who exactly is it that told you to do this alone? How about you take a step back and see that there's folks all around who love me and love the lost too? So how about you encourage them and join them and do it together? We are called to love the world by going into the world together. Together we are more courageous when the odds are against us. I have walked into some shady homes and I've crossed some borders that I never would have crossed if my brother or sister wasn't right there by my side doing it with me. Together we get a double dose of the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to stir up his dreams and his ideas inside of us. If I'm honest, I've told you before, my natural self really doesn't like group work. I don't like spending hours around a table discussing methods and strategies when I'm really honest, I already have it figured out. I already know exactly what needs to be done and just how I kind of want to do it. But when I take the time to humble myself, and to value relationships over just getting a job done, I always realize that my idea isn't necessarily the best one on the table. And there are questions that I haven't even considered yet. And I realize that together, one pretty good idea can become this incredible, bigger than ourselves idea for the mission of God in this world. We were meant to love the world together. I wonder who are the lost people on your heart today. What are their names? Maybe for some it's family members, friends, neighbors, colleagues. Maybe there's a pocket of people in our very own community, North Mason's youth, those in our community overwhelmed by the throes of addiction, poverty. Maybe it's a people in the world. Maybe this morning you woke up with a place in your heart deeper than ever before for immigrants and refugees. Maybe it's a heart for villages devastated by the AIDS virus in Africa, even still today. Maybe it's for tribes who still don't have the gospel in their own language in places like New Guinea. Who are they? Where are they? And as you carry these folks in your heart, I ask the same question I asked last week. Who is God providing to share this love and burden for these people with you? Because you're not called to do it alone. He's never called us to do it alone. Who is it that will sit with you over a cup of coffee and dream with you about the ways Jesus' love might intersect their lives? Who is it that can help you be more bold and more courageous when you're among them? Who is it in your life that will keep you from becoming stagnant and complacent in your love for these lost people? Who will encourage you when you begin to feel discouraged? Whose ideas can the Spirit use to build up on your own? As Jesus goes down that line, giving each of the 70 of his disciples a lost community to serve and a partner to go and serve them with, imagine yourself somewhere in that line. And imagine he comes up to you. And I wonder this morning, where does he send you? Where does he send you? And who does he send you with? You see, we were meant to love the world together. And that's just verse 1. Verse 2, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." How can I be a friend of the world, we ask today? Simply pray for it. Talk to God on behalf of those who need him. Ask God to stir up in the hearts of his people a true burden for the lost. If nothing else, pray for the upcoming generation, for our children, for our youth right here in this church. Pray for them to start right now, to catch the fire of the Spirit while they're still young, before the world tries to tell them what they can and can't do, before the media tries to tell them who they can and who they can't love. Pray for them now to already begin seeing their lives from the perspective of God's heart for the world and for the nations. Pray that they might be a people who spread their wings and who land in those harvest fields, whether those be in Mason County or off in the mountains of Myanmar one day. Pray for our church's heart to absolutely break for the people in our community and our world that God's heart is breaking for, even right this very minute. Pray for hearts to be softened, for minds to understand. Pray for the Spirit to run wild in the lives of all those who need him. How do I do that, you ask? Just start somewhere. There's all kinds of practical ways. Just an idea, maybe on Mondays, pray for your relatives who need to know the love of Jesus. On Tuesdays, pray for your friends who are lost. On Wednesdays, for colleagues and for neighbors. On Thursdays, for our community. On Fridays, for our world. Maybe just pick a country for a while or a people group. There's more than enough to choose from. Saturdays, pray for our church's connection to the world, and so forth. Doesn't really matter how you do it, but the basic truth is we love the world by interceding on behalf of the people of the world. I wonder this morning, when's the last time you simply poured your heart out to God for the lost? When's the last time we as a church have done this together? Let's start again today, asking the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest. And then verse 3, Jesus says, go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Go on your way. You've been partnered up. You've prayed, Jesus says. Now go. That very prayer you were praying about God sending his people to love the lost, he says, okay, go be the answer to that prayer. Very sneaky on Jesus' part here. You see, I was happy to ask Jesus to raise up the next generation to be courageous and loving the world, but this hits a little bit close to home. And I love that Jesus does this. When I take a step back, I realize that oftentimes my prayers are more like prescriptions for Jesus, the divine pharmacist, to fill for me. Jesus, feed the hungry. Jesus, offer comfort to the hurting. Jesus, help our church grow and serve you well. And all the while, he's whispering right back, Jamie, you've got some food. Feed the hungry in my name. You've got a hug to offer and time to sit by a bedside. Comfort the hurting in my name. You've got the ability to reach out and invite. Bring some lost folks into worship and go into the places they hang out and actually see them in my name. He says, as you're praying, be ready and be willing to be a part of the answer to your very own prayers. Isn't that exciting? The Lord of the harvest doesn't just want us to pray so he'll just send somebody out there to love somebody else out there. He wants to answer our prayers by sending us. It's amazing. Don't stop praying now. Start praying even more. He wants to send us, and that is good news. Then there's words as we go, whether it be to the ends of the earth or to the house across the street or the cubicle across the aisle. Verse 4, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Imagine those 70, they're taking off to unknown territory for an unknown amount of time, and Jesus says, bring nothing. Not even extra shoes, not even a smartphone, not a GPS, nothing. What's that about? Once again, it's about relationship. You see, we establish friendship with the world when we live in the world not only as givers, but also as receivers. Too often it seems Christians go and engage the lost as the people in the world with all the answers, all the joy, all the hope. And the one on the other end, that poor soul, has nothing but a lost path and a fiery future to turn from. And so the Christian becomes the rescuer, and the lost is the poor soul that needs to be rescued. And you know, there's truth to all of this, but it's not the whole truth. There's not a one of us apart from Jesus Christ who has complete wisdom and complete love and all the answers we need to know God completely and love this world genuinely on our very own. We need one another, whoever the one another is. We need each other's experiences and stories to grow in God together and to see God in a bigger way. I need my Muslim friends and my Hindu friends and my atheist friends and my Christian friends who haven't been in church in years. I need their experiences, their understanding of God to shape and expand my own. In the Middle East, my Muslim friends, they taught me so much about revering God. Whenever we'd come together and have a meal, I'd note their incredible hospitality. The food they'd put before me out of their poverty was like nothing you'd ever seen before. And I would watch and I would tell them how amazing it was for me to see them stop what they were doing throughout the day, every day, 5 times a day, to pray to God. And when I took the time to let them know how their lives inspired my life, I would always see that they were all of a sudden all ears, eager to hear about how my own family worships and how I pray and how Christians treat strangers in their home back in America. They wanted to know, well, if that amazes you, tell us how you do it too. When we truly sat there and listened to one another, realizing we had much to share and much to learn from each other, Christ was seen in those places, and real friendship with the world was formed. Carry nothing. Receive from those you visit. Enter the world as givers of grace and truth and love, and enter the world as receivers of grace and truth and love. That's a sure way to befriend the lost, be they near or be they far. May we humbly receive from others, from the world. Then Jesus goes on in verse 7. He says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. As you love the world, stay where you're put, Jesus says. These disciples are about to go and do some pretty amazing things in the name of Jesus. People will be healed, miracles will happen, and all the while their first entry into the town may have been met with lots of skepticism and closed doors, you can bet that once they start doing cool things, all of a sudden everyone will remember that they actually have a spare bedroom to share. Look, these guys are healing people. Let's have them to our house for dinner and see what kind of favors they might have for us. And Jesus warns them beforehand about this and says not to be those kind of people. Don't be the kind of people who neglect the simple folks who welcomed you in the first place when the town's mayor all of a sudden wants to host you. He says, don't use people for your own ego. Don't look over the shoulder of a regular person to see if someone of higher standing is in the room and if they see you too. Jesus says, as you love the world, love the people right before you. Don't use people as some means to accomplish your goal, but make your goal all about loving people. Love whomever I send your way to love, Jesus says. Invest in them completely. People are not disposable. So don't treat them that way, Jesus says. Stay in the house that first opens to you. Don't go friend shopping or friend hopping, but settle in. And wherever you are, be fully there. That's how we love the world. By really loving well actual, real, individual people of the world. Finally then, verses 8 and 9. He says, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What do we do as we live among the lost? Simply the kinds of things that Jesus did as he lived among us when we were lost. Care for the sick. Extend kindness to all. Take time to engage children. Talk to the ones that no one else is willing to talk to. Be near to the grieving. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. Open up your home to share meals and accept invitations when others open up their homes to you. See people, look them in the eyes, friends and strangers alike, and really see them. Hear people when they talk, really listen. Embrace people when they're alone. Touch people who haven't received a loving touch in days. Feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, give a bed to the sleepy, a home to the wanderer, a shoulder to lean on to the weary. Love the world by living like Jesus did when he was in the world. And not just by doing, but also, he says, by proclaiming. As we do the work of Jesus, we're also to be a people who have a testimony on our lips. He says, tell them that the kingdom is near. tell the lost people in our world what Jesus has done for you. How has His grace entered your life? And how has His love transformed everything about you? There's this famous quote that you'll see sometimes. It's often attributed to St. Francis, though there's no proof he ever said it. But the quote says simply, "Preach the gospel and use words when necessary." And it's a nice quote. And I get the sentiment behind it. But my friends, the truth is, words are necessary. And not just words, of course. That's the whole point of the quote. We don't just go preaching at the world. It doesn't work. But just like Jesus says here, by praying and by going as humble receivers, by doing the works Jesus did, we then have an open door to use some words and explain just why we're living in the world in such a peculiar sort of way. Too often I feel like Christians just kind of hope that by being extra nice to people and by smiling a whole lot, people will eventually come to us and they will say, "You know, I'm just dying to know why you're different. Please, would you tell me about Jesus?" You guys, that doesn't happen. Smiling a lot is great. Sometimes a little creepy, but it's great. But guys, people need to hear the gospel. They're not going to get there on their own. They need to hear that because of Jesus, God's kingdom is here. Because of Jesus, God's way is open to us, and heaven is ours, and life today is ours. Do the things of Jesus and preach the message of Jesus. You need words and you need actions. That's how we live as friends among the lost. There's simply no other way. When the 70 come back after their journey, they are absolutely pumped up in every way. Because serving the lost and preaching the kingdom is fun. It's a lot of fun. And they cry out to Jesus and they say, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." And Jesus responds with the same elation, "I watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Imagine that. Abiding in Christ, friendship with God, growing together, friendship with one another, giving life, friendship with this world. As we lean into these mandates together, my dream, my passion, my hope, is that Sunday mornings become a time when the people of BCC come from all over this county every single week crying out to God together saying, "My gosh, it happened again." The darkness in our community gave way to light again. Demons got out of the way this week and the Spirit filled those places with light and life again. And as we sing and rejoice together, I pray we'd have ears to hear as Jesus exclaims right back to us, "Yes, I saw it too." All week long, watching the folks of Belfair Community Church doing what they're called to do, I watch Satan fall from his throne again and again and again. It was a glorious week in heaven, and it was a glorious week in Mason County too. Let's get excited about this. Let's go out and let's do it this week. And let's do it again and again. What do you say? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for letting us have friendship with you. Thank you for letting us have friendship with one another. And thank you for letting us have a friendship with the world who is dying to know of your love. As you send us out this week, let these words on how to love, on where to go, on who to invest in, let them take root in our hearts, and so that we won't just be big fat sponges, but so that we will be people who are dripping with life, with the good news, with the love of Christ. everywhere we go until everyone knows that you are Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.